The Reset Podcast is a show about fresh starts. In business, career, relationships, health, and life in general, sometimes we all go forward to a new square one. Every moment is a new opportunity to begin again, and my guests will tell you how, when, and why they decided to reset their lives. I'm Franklin Taggart. Welcome to the Reset Podcast. I'm Franklin Taggart, and welcome to the Reset Podcast. My guests today are Jeffrey Pomranka, who's the Executive Director for Meals on Wheels of Loveland and Berthoud, and Susan Atwater, who is the Development Director for Meals on Wheels of Loveland and Berthoud. And we're here today to talk a little bit about some of the things that they've been doing here in the community. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the important service that Meals on Wheels provides to people who are not able to get out as much and not able to cook for themselves, but it allows them to stay in their home a little bit longer. So let's talk a little bit about your history with Meals on Wheels. We'll start with you, Susan. I understand that you've been in this role just over a year, is that right?
Yes, I started in July of 17, so.
Okay, so.
A little bit over a year.
You have a year under your belt.
Yes.
And is this the first time that you've worked in the nonprofit world?
It is, in fact. I was in corporate, and before that I had owned my own business for a number of years. And so it's been a learning curve, certainly, but the principles are the same, and I still, I do like getting meals in front of people that need them.
Yeah. And what was the corporate role that you were in before?
I did marketing for a company that is, the product is a reusable plastic container for the fresh produce industry. Mm-hmm. So I was in charge of marketing for 8 countries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a region.
It's the Americas. That's what it was, the Americas.
Oh, okay.
So, and before that, my business was a marketing services and event management company.
Okay, so you've had a lot of diverse experiences in marketing, events planning, and things like that. I know that comes into play here. We'll talk a little bit more about a big event that you hosted this summer. You more than hosted, you put it together from the ground up. But before that, let's talk to Jeff a little bit about your history here with Meals on Wheels. How long have you been with the organization?
I started not much longer before Susan. I started March of 2017.
Okay.
So I've been here just over a year and a half.
So you're both still, you know,
wet behind the ears.
Very much.
Figuring it out. And was your experience prior to this in the nonprofit world?
I've been doing nonprofit my entire career since college. So,
wow.
Mostly people with disabilities. I started helping people with autism find jobs.
Oh, wow.
Spread to general disability, mostly in employment. Have done some work in other disability fields, as well as I was at an early childcare center. And before coming here, I helped start a charter school, elementary school.
Oh, wow.
So lots of different changes.
Yeah, you've been around the block a few times, too. A
couple times.
Yeah, definitely. So your experience has been all nonprofit.
All nonprofit.
What do you notice that is different about Meals on Wheels from the other agencies that you've worked for?
So there are a lot of similarities in the nonprofit world, but I've never done seniors and I've never done food.
Okay.
What I have noticed is, and as Susan mentioned, she likes to get food in front of people. I think there are 3 things that Meals on Wheels attracts people to. Some people really just like serving seniors.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, enjoy that aspect. There's the aspect of food, making sure that everybody has a nutritious meal is another aspect that attracts people. And then the third is independence. And that's closer to where I fall in. Independence for people with disabilities, independence for people, whoever. And so those are kind of the similarities, but I've never done food. I've never done seniors before.
Okay, so you're learning a whole new range of skills.
And
regulations and information. And
correct. The Older Americans Act is fascinating to learn. Yeah. And then even different states. I was in St. Louis, Missouri before, so moving to Colorado, things are different.
Okay. Now, Meals on Wheels of Loveland and Berthoud is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. Big milestone. But I'm kind of curious, in the scheme of the greater Meals on Wheels organization, where does that fit in? When did the organization itself start?
So Meals on Wheels, and I'm going to hesitate to say exact dates, it came from England during the war. Is that correct? What you remember, Susan? Somewhere
around
there. What I know is we started Meals on Wheels of Loveland and Berthoud started because a Red Cross nurse brought it from, I think, Ohio.
Okay.
So we're the oldest west of the Mississippi, which to me is fascinating, that a small community of Loveland, especially 50 years ago, this tiny community of Loveland, started Meals on Wheels. So we're relatively old compared to many Meals on Wheels. And everyone, there's a Meals on Wheels of America, but every other Meals on Wheels is its own private nonprofit or part of another organization. So we have Meals on Wheels of America that helps us with things like advocacy and best practices and such, but really we're all our own organizations.
Okay. So with that independence, you're responsible for all of your own fundraising.
Yes.
And you're responsible for all of your own oversight, your board, and everything like that. Nothing is coming from a greater organization.
Correct.
Okay. So, that being said, what are your primary sources of income for the organization here in Loveland?
We get funds from the government through the Office on Aging. We also get private donations, of course, through foundations and individuals, as well as the client, what's the word I need?
Client contributions.
Contribution.
So we do ask our clients to contribute whatever they're comfortable with.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, with that all, you know, coming in, there's still a need on top of that. So some of the things that you're doing, Susan, are creating special events. This past summer for the 50th anniversary, you did an outdoor farm-to-table meal called Meals on Fourth. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that idea came to be and a little bit about the partnerships that made that possible?
Well, when we realized that the 50th, I mean, it is a big deal. So what we planned was to have a year of awareness building, because everybody knows about Meals on Wheels in some capacity, but this Meals on Wheels in particular, I don't know, we were just feeling like it needed a little shot in the arm in terms of getting back out there and whatnot. So per month throughout this year, we've been doing varied events, both here in Loveland and in Berthoud. And so the big signature fundraiser was in June, and that was Meals on Fourth. It was at the end of it all, we counted over 50 different organizations that in some way, shape, or form contributed to the entire event.
Wow.
And I mean, in a small community, that is saying something, truly. We had 4 restaurants that contributed the food for the meal itself. We, of course, took care of our volunteers. And we had 80 volunteers throughout that event, which, if not for them, it would have been a wholly different event, I will say. But, we shut down 4th Street in downtown Loveland between Railroad and Cleveland. We served 180 meals, 6-course meals. It was a lovely event, and we raised some good money that will help keep getting meals out the door. So are we doing it next year? Is that your next question?
I'm not going to ask that. I don't want to be thrown out of here.
No. It is in the works, and we are looking to tweak a few things, but in general, I would say it would be pretty much the same. I think when we talked about it to people initially, they were like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. And so now that we have one under our belt and the video to prove it, I think next year we can really build on the success that we had this year and move it into another category.
Well, it was extremely well received for a first-time event. I can only imagine that you were very pleased with the turnout and the response from the community.
We had people downtown that night that I heard things like, wow, I haven't been downtown in years. Look at this place. Yeah. Which, you know, if you own a shop downtown, that's happy news. I think others were just thrilled to see something that was a little out of the ordinary for a nonprofit event to raise money.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful evening. Honestly, the weather couldn't have been nicer, so we got super lucky with that.
So that was the big event, and then you've done several other events throughout the year.
Yep.
What do you have coming up on the event calendar?
Well, next week we are having a business after hours with the Bertha Chamber of Commerce here at Meals on Wheels.
We will be doing the hot cocoa and s'mores at the
Festival of the Lights.
Thank you. I always screw that one up.
Tree lighting ceremony here.
Right. Yeah. Last year that was a blast. I mean, we didn't really have a clue what that was going to be like, and we made
23 gallons of hot cocoa.
Wow.
500 s'mores gone in 90 minutes.
Right.
Oh wow.
People were hungry and thirsty.
Yeah. You got a sweet tooth here in this town.
It was a lot of fun because the event was scheduled to last for hours.
Yeah.
And within an hour and a half of setting up, we were done. Yeah. We were just out.
Wow.
Like, okay.
So we're going to double up this year and make sure that everybody gets hot chocolate that needs it. Yeah. So that's November. And then in December, it's still a little bit in the works, but we would like to have a debut of a video that we're putting together that really focuses on impact for Meals on Wheels, that Meals on Wheels has in our community, both or from a client perspective, from a volunteer perspective, and just folks that have had Meals on Wheels impact them in one way or another, whether it was here or somewhere else.
Yeah.
So to really get to the story of the matter.
That's wonderful. And when will that be happening?
It's in pre-production right now.
Okay.
And the goal is to have it done in early December.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So we'll have.
So that'll be up on the Facebook page, the website.
Yeah,
in various places around.
We'll be promoting it ad not or just out of control. You'll be sick of seeing it.
So you mentioned volunteers, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. A large part of your organization is volunteer driven. And can you talk a little bit about the roles of volunteers in Meals on Wheels here? And it's not just people who are driving, it's other roles as well. You mentioned 80 volunteers who helped just with that one event. Can you talk a little bit about the different types of volunteer opportunities that there are here?
Sure. So we have two primary. Everybody thinks of drivers, and we do. We use close to 30 drivers every single weekday. Yeah. So because we have close to 30 routes, it varies a little bit day to day, depending on who's on and who needs meals. But in addition to that, we're sending out just under 300 meals every single day. We have three full-time cooks who do the hot meals and prepare those. Mm-hmm. But along with those, we need to send out what we call our cold packs, which is including a starch, so a piece of bread and some sort of fruit that is packaged. We're not sending out pre-packaged anything. So we're doing that all in-house to keep it as fresh as possible and as healthy as possible. And we have three or four volunteers who work in our kitchen every single day, mm-hmm. making sure that we have 300 pieces of bread, 300 cups of fruit, whatever it is that go out. And then making sure that our hot food gets packaged, sealed in containers that you can eat right out of, you can put in the fridge, you can freeze, you can put in the oven, you can put in the microwave. So helping make sure that all of our food gets packaged and placed into coolers and ready to go every single day. We do have then other volunteers who help us with office duties, and really it's helping make sure that our phone gets answered right away by a live person, because every day starting at 8 o'clock we have people who are calling and saying, I don't need a meal today, I'm going to a doctor's or out to lunch with a friend, please don't send me a meal. And or I need a meal today because usually I don't get meals on Wednesdays, but today I need one, can you send me one? And just a little bit of an aside, to me that's fascinating, because our meals start going out the door at 10:30, and someone can call who's on in our database and call at, if, as long as they call before 9 o'clock, they can change their meal for the day. So we're really adaptive to that. And then during the lunchtime, we have people who are out delivering, and if someone's not answering their door, the drivers are giving us a call to find out so we can track down and make sure everybody's okay. Most of the time it's, oh, I forgot I went to a doctor's appointment, I could be outside in the back gardening, all those kinds of things. So the phone between really 8 o'clock and 1 o'clock often rings off the hook. So we use volunteers to help us manage that as well.
So how many volunteers total are you working with at any given time?
Yeah, I like to do it about in a month. So in a month, we have close to 200 volunteers.
Oh, wow.
Last year in 2017, the number that sticks out is we had over 17,000 volunteer hours for the year.
Wow, that's significant.
Yes.
And I remember at one point, Susan, you and I talked about how many meals you served in a year. Do you remember that number?
It's just, this year we're on track. It'll be just under 80,000.
Okay, so that's
a lot. And that doesn't include what we do for Community Kitchen. If you add that in, it's close to 100,000.
Wow, that's just that's mind-boggling.
Out of one kitchen.
Right. This small little community, the sleepy retirement town of Loveland, is not really so much anymore. There's a lot of good stuff.
The last thing I'd like to talk about a little bit is the Reset Podcast is about fresh starts in life. And a lot of times when we think about fresh starts, we kind of think about like career changes or relationship changes or something like that. But the folks that you're working with are going through a different kind of a fresh start, where they are starting to actually, some of them are not able to get out of their homes very easily. Some of them are not able to cook for themselves as frequently as they would like to. And that's a different kind of a fresh start. Can you talk a little bit about what your service really allows your clientele to do in their lives?
So I'm going to start and then Susan can fill in. The one thing that I don't think people think about what we do is the short term. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes home from after surgery, maybe they won't need Meals on Wheels long term, but to help them stay healthy and receive the meals while they're recuperating, going through rehab and such. Again, going back to how adaptive we are, I remember listening to our client specialist talk to a gentleman at 8 o'clock in the morning. He got a meal that day at lunch because he was being discharged from the hospital and didn't have anybody there to help him with lunch. So we were able to get him a meal that day and going on for as long as he needed it. Additionally, what people, and for me this fits with the fresh start, there are often couples where one spouse is taking care of the other spouse who has recently been diagnosed with something. Maybe it's cancer, maybe it's Alzheimer's, something. And they're able to prepare all the meals and take care of their spouse. But what we will do is let us bring the lunch meal, because then it's a meal for the person who can't get out and cook, but we will also deliver a meal to the caretaker. Okay. And the way I think about it, that is maybe not just a fresh start, but it gives them back a good hour and a half every day where they can sit and enjoy a meal as opposed to spending their time cooking and cleaning for their loved one who they just want to spend time with.
So it allows a little bit more independence in their time and flexibility in their time?
Very much so.
Okay.
I think the other thing that it does is as folks age and they recognize that they are not as capable as they used to be, I think there's a real fear that enters into it. And when you can alleviate that, it's liberating. It yeah. ends up, you know, it's a game changer for a lot of folks. And I think when you can make an impact like that, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think people, and the impact that you have on families, as Jeff mentioned, it's not only those that are living with someone that needs to have a meal delivered, but if you're a child of folks that need some help and you live elsewhere, it's for them a very reassuring thing, knowing that someone is bringing them food and laying eyes on them and making yeah. sure that everything looks the way it should. And if it doesn't, then someone's raising the flag.
I was going to say, one of the things that is apparent is that your drivers are another pair of eyes that are just helping to kind of, you know, keep track of where people are, and, you know, if they need help or if they're in any kind of distress or anything like that. I think that that's amazing.
One of the things that we do is a little unusual, I think, for some Meals on Wheels, but we have a social worker here on staff, and she is not a caseworker per se, but what she'll do is be able to refer somebody who has an issue with fill in the blank, whatever it is, and she will just help direct them. I mean, the county offers an amazing bunch of resources for all people, but elderly in particular, seniors. Yeah. And so to have that kind of a resource and that kind of a sounding board for folks, I think it's a real sense of comfort that it offers up.
Very good. There's one other question that I have that's kind of related to the nonprofit world. From the outside, it appears to be changing pretty significantly in terms of the way that you are challenged with marketing and that you're challenged with fundraising. Seems to be a constant pursuit. And I'm wondering if you could speak to ways that you've seen the nonprofit world change over the last few years.
Well, I can only speak for last 18 months, but I mean, I think of myself as an event person that can market that, and to me, if you are raising awareness and getting the word out and reaching people that you haven't reached before, possibly, whether it's just friend raising or donations or, you know, whatever the channel is. I feel like if you can get the word out there and do it in a very positive way and do it in a consistent way, you know, on a regular basis, whether, you know, you've got an article in the paper, you're doing an event, you're going to events where you're having the opportunity to speak to perhaps a new audience. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's the old adage in marketing, you know, you tell them and you tell them and you tell them again, and just keep going with it. We see there's a lot of talk of collaboration in nonprofits, and I think, I mean, when it makes sense, that sounds like a very reasonable approach. I don't think all collaborations are probably going to make sense necessarily.
Right.
But I think it'll be an interesting thing to watch, because there, in Colorado, I was at a seminar not too long ago, and I think that the number I heard was that there are over 2,500 nonprofits in the state of Colorado.
Wow.
And now some of those are, you know, like one or two people kind of thing, and mm-hmm. it's a very specific kind of cause. But what I learned through the experience of doing Meals on Fourth was the power of the brand. And when you say Meals on Wheels, people have an idea. They know, they have a basic idea of what that is,
yeah.
the service that it means to them. So when you've got that kind of a brand behind an effort that is very fundamental, I mean, we're talking about food here,
yeah.
and human contact, it's super powerful. And I was not actually prepared for that part of it.
It's pretty amazing.
I believe
that Loveland, when it comes to community involvement, I'm just amazed at the level of response that we get here in our community. whenever we have an event like this.
Yeah.
It's like people show up and people support it.
And
it's
they're all in.
Yeah.
And we have some very nice champions in this community for Meals on Wheels, which is really, it's a testament.
Jeff, do you have anything that you would add to the changes that you've seen in the nonprofit world over the years?
Yes. Going back close to 30 years, mm-hmm. it used to be, or it seemed, that you do good work, here's money. And the nonprofits are now being held more accountable. They're more outcome driven, that people want to see how their money is being spent and make sure that it's actually changing and improving lives. So it's, I don't know that it's harder per se, because I think we're still doing the same thing, but people back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s were hit with, now I've got to be held accountable. And it's turning nonprofits not into businesses per se, but making them think more like a business thinks. It's like, okay, what are our outcomes? How are we actually doing? And what changes are we making?
Yeah.
As opposed to just going, we're doing good work, trust us.
Yeah.
So I think it's really helpful that we're being held more accountable. And people hopefully will see where their money's going and how we're making that impact.
So overall, do you notice that your funding sources are asking for a little bit more like clear numbers and measurable results and things like that?
I think so. Yeah. And to me, for back when I worked helping people with disabilities find jobs, mm-hmm. it was really numbers driven and stuff like that. So moving out here and working with the Larimer County Office on Aging and these funding sources, they're almost like, sorry, we're asking for all this stuff. I'm like, it's fine. I will share all this. I'm very used to it. So it's, I don't know if it's just specifics, but it's all changing. And people are really wanting to see. It's like, how is our money being used? Which I welcome. I think it just makes everybody better.
Right.
Wonderful.
That transparency is key, I think. Cause, I mean, the first thing somebody's going to ask is, what's happening with federal funding? And fortunately, whoever was doing this in Washington did a fantastic job, because the $10 million that was added into the budget for approval also went into something on defense.
Yeah.
And there was some other, keeping the government open. That's the other thing. So whoever got it looped into that bill did a very good job. And it passed straight away.
No question.
Yeah. So, I mean, $10 million, you spread that across the U.S., and half of it goes for congregate meals and half goes to outfits like we are, where we're taking meals to someone's home, doesn't really go very far.
No, not at all.
So, but you're gonna, you know, these are victories nonetheless.
Yeah.
So you've gotta just keep plugging.
Well, if someone wants to reach out to you and donate time or money, or if they want to find out about the organization, a little bit more about the events that are coming up, where would you send them first?
LublinMealsOnWheels.org.
Okay.
That is kept very up to date. It has places where you can donate, you can sign up to volunteer, you can read what's been happening in the organization. It's the source of all info, really.
Okay.
And we're on social, of course, as well, but if you can't go that deep on social.
LublinMealsOnWheels.org.
Yep.
All right. And then on Facebook, Meals on Wheels, Loveland and Berthoud. Is that the page name?
It is. The handle is at Loveland Meals on Wheels.
Okay. Easy enough.
So.
You're good. Well.
Check us out. Like us. Share us.
I appreciate, as a community member, I just appreciate the work that you're doing. And I see you all out hustling all the time, making connections with people and keeping your cause visible. So I am just in appreciation of all that you're doing here.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
Yeah,
thank you much
for being a part of it. So we've been talking with Susan Atwater and Jeffrey Pomranka of Meals on Wheels of Loveland and Berthoud, You're listening to the Reset Podcast. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe and review.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to, subscribe, and review the Reset Podcast. The Reset Podcast features interviews, insights, and in-depth reflections that will help you navigate your own fresh start. If you'd like to be a guest or share an idea for a topic you'd like to hear about, please contact podcast@franklintaggart.com. I offer a wide range of services to people who are ready to live with clear direction, new possibilities, greater freedom, and unlimited creativity. If you're looking for a new beginning, I'm available to help you. More information is available at franklintaggart.com. The Reset Podcast is a production of Franklin Taggart and Make Your Own Way Media. All rights reserved.